a very, very good morning. A very good morning to Rolene Marks. How are you?
Good morning, everybody. And I have to say, World Cup fever is quite catchy because it's come all the way to Israel, where the morning greeting is not Boker Tov, it's Boker.
Absolutely so. Love that. So, yeah, indeed. And of course, lots of South Africans and lots of Brits in Israel must make things interesting.
It certainly does, especially in Moti Inn. I mean, we've all finished colonizing Ranana, or Ranana Fontaine, as they call it. And now we are now in Moti Inn Fontaine. And things are about to get very, very interesting. I mean, it's going to be even better than the scrum at the supermarket for the best challah or putot. But it's how we do it here in the Holy Land.
Absolutely right. All right. This is a very disturbing story that I don't even want to talk about, but have to. Is the Ministry of Absorption faking Aliyah numbers?
Well, apparently, according to an expose in yesterday's Times of Israel, they very, very well could be. One of the journalists in the Time of Israel, Judah Ari Gross, he has written an article saying that, you know, it has been discovered on the Ministry of Absorption and Immigration's Twitter page that it's, you know, the images that are being used to fill up of, you know, smiling immigrants talking about how they've come to Israel, how despite all the hardships, they are building successful lives, that apparently they're not real. Apparently, these are photo stock footage images. And apparently, the quotes and the people who they are attributed to have been made up. Now, what has been interesting is that, you know, while we're undergoing these negotiations for some kind of government people, both Prime Minister designate Benny Gantz and Prime Minister Netanyahu have been speaking about, you know, talking to the diaspora, making global Jewry more inclusive, trying to close the gaps. But this certainly doesn't help. And it brings that whole debate whether or not Aliyah is the best solution for all back onto the table. So what this expose has said is that the absorption ministry has set aside some half a million shekels for programs to encourage Aliyah. But we've seen also a changing in the philosophy of organizations like the Jewish Agency, who are moving away from making Aliyah their priority to looking at other issues like Jewish education, like bridging the gaps between Israel and diaspora Jews. But this certainly is interesting.
I mean, the crazy thing is, why would they even have to do this? It makes no sense.
It doesn't make sense. And what's quite interesting to see, and I say this as somebody who has made Aliyah successful, Aliyah, despite the hardships, and you can quote me on Twitter, Ministry of Absorption.
Well, that's the point. That's the point. Is there's enough real people to do this? Why would they possibly, how could they have thought that was a good idea?
Well, in this article, there is one Olé called Lior Goldberry, who's quoted as saying, "I came to fulfill the Jewish dream, making Aliyah, serving in the army, living on Lillian Bloom Street in Tel Aviv has made me the person I am today." Just a word of caution to the Ministry of Absorption. No self-respecting Olé gives away their street in today's current climate where they live. Israel is my home and always will be. The problem is that apparently he never said that. Apparently, he's a copywriter, has not made Aliyah, but rather is a Sabra, native-born Israeli. And he said, it's nowhere near anything that I would have said. He said, you know, this is nothing short of horrendous. And to use stock images to try and create these people and fabricate is really, really dangerous. And, you know, the reality is that Aliyah is not the solution for everybody. And speaking to Jews around the world, despite rising anti-Semitism, many feel that, you know, they're very proud of the countries that they live in. They have a great affinity towards Israel. But why should, you know, they have to make Aliyah? Why should that be the only way they demonstrate it? And we've also heard from other Olim, like Jason Perlman. He's a former spokesperson for the president, for President Rivlin. He's saying that, you know, this is utterly ridiculous.
Has there been?
You know, at a time when our credibility as a country is constantly attacked on social media, to make people up is nothing short of idiotic.
Absolutely, I couldn't agree more. Has there been any statement from the department?
Nothing yet. I think that, you know, this came out quite late last night, and the only thing they have said is, you know, they thank the reporter for bringing the matter to their attention, and they'll check it out. But I think somebody's head's going to roll in the social media department at the Ministry of Absorption.
Yeah, well, I would certainly actually hope so. So very, very strange indeed. Yair Netanyahu to address Congress in Hungary. Why?
You know,
why?
I know yesterday was Halloween. And as somebody who's born on April the 1st, send presents, everybody, please. I honestly thought that this was a joke. You know, we are at such a precarious time, not only for the Prime Minister personally, but we are in the middle of all these negotiations to form a government. It's evident the Prime Minister was unable to do that. It's now been handed over. But Yair Netanyahu, who is more famous for foot and mouth disease, has spoken or is speaking at an event in Budapest. Apparently, this event is being put on by a historian who has been accused of Holocaust distortion. Winter's on its way. But how do you let Yair Netanyahu, who's possibly the most dangerous person to get hold of any kind of social media account, how do you invite him to speak, especially at a Congress dealing or put on with somebody whose credibility is attacked because they have distorted the Holocaust?
Yeah, it almost feels, if I was a conspiracy theorist, like a setup. Something negative will come out of it because it must.
You know, it goes back to this whole trend of people to attack George Soros. George Soros, you know, is a leftist. Some people say that he funds a lot of left-wing, you know, conspiracy activity. He's against the U.S. government. He's against the Israeli government. There's a whole lot of theories around George Soros. I try myself to stay away from these kind of things. But a huge concern for many because Hungary is led by Viktor Orban, and despite being a ally of Israel, it is still a very, very strong right-wing government, and we have to walk a very, very delicate tightrope. You know, are these very right-wing regimes necessarily the best friends that we have?
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that we know the answer to that. Wow, absolutely, absolutely unbelievable that this is the case. All right, and the Israeli Air Force has a malfunction. Tell us about that.
Okay, so yesterday we got our very own Air Force One. I mean, America gets an Air Force One. We get an Air Force One. Who knows, Howard, maybe you and I will get an Air Force One.
Yeah, please God, in the near future. Mm-hmm. Or not.
But I don't know, does it constitute like flying on a private jet?
If it's Air Force One.
Are we woke enough for that?
No, definitely not. We're working on it. We're just not there yet.
But we got our version of Air Force One, which is the code name for the plane that carries the U.S. president. That would be very confusing if both the prime minister and president of Israel and the president of the USA would be arriving somewhere at the same time. Our Air Force One, which I have to say this, guys, is a nicer looking Air Force One than the American one.
Really?
It's
wow.
Very pretty. It's blue. It's got a gray and white underbelly. It's got a big mug in David on the tail, which makes it, to me, infinitely prettier than any other plane in the sky.
Right.
But it took off for its test run from Ben Gurion yesterday and apparently had a bit of a brake malfunction. We could comment a lot on Israeli drivers here, but this is quite serious.
Yeah, brakes are important, especially in Israel. Mm.
But it's a, this Boeing 767-300ER. It will be used by both the Prime Minister and the President for official visits abroad. It apparently can go as far as China, the United States, and even Brazil without having to do any kind of stopover. But as it left the hangar, yes, they seemed to have a malfunction with the brakes. They overheated. This led to a lot of fears that there could be some kind of fire, definitely something you don't want to have while you are flying. And hopefully it will be dealt with and fixed in time for the maiden voyage of either the Prime Minister, whoever that may be, and the President.
Absolutely. Before I let you go, there were a couple of sirens that were going off yesterday. What is going on in the south?
Okay, so at the moment we are in a situation of high alert. Israel is bracing itself for some kind of retaliatory attack from Iran. All our air defense systems are on high alert. Our David Sling, our Arrow and Patriot missiles, and definitely our Iron Dome. And we don't know how this attack will happen, but we are bracing. Could it be proxies in the north? Yesterday there was a bit of action between Israel and Hezbollah as far as drones are concerned. Could it be missiles fired from as far as Yemen? Could it be missiles fired from the sea? Could it be drones? But yesterday or last night, Hamas and elements within the Gaza Strip flexing their muscles, firing rockets and projectiles from the Strip into Israel, which set off alarms, also set off our Iron Dome systems, which intercepted these rockets and mortars. And thank goodness nobody was harmed. There has been no damage. One rocket did fall in an empty field. But we are very cautious this weekend. You know, one of the concerns while we're still in this period of government negotiation is that Iran and other elements that are hostile to Israel may use this opportunity to try and escalate something. So very, very much on the list of priorities is let's get a government. We cannot waste time and we cannot go to a situation where we have a third election.
But absolutely right. But unfortunately, it's going to require compromise, and the potential leaders of the country have got to actually get it together.
Absolutely. Well, compromise is the name of the game. I mean, I was quite surprised even Obama weighing in on the art of compromise yesterday. But it's the name of the game here, and hopefully, very, very soon, really very, very soon, we will have some kind of government.
Absolutely right. Rolene Marks. That's where we leave it, wishing you a Shabbat Shalom, a fantastic weekend, and we'll catch you next week.
Do I dare say Shabbok Shalom?
Well, you already said it. It's 8 o'clock. Have a great one.